This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a tremendous hour coming up for you as the Greg's Random Football Roulette Series is going to be continuing. In hour number two, we gave you a preview of the Jacksonville Jaguars that got picked completely by random. We're going to get another team picked completely by random in about 30 minutes. So we're going to get you guys some football previews. By the end of this stretch, I will have previewed all 32 teams for you. So that's coming up in 30 minutes. In 15 minutes, Wes Reynolds does such great work here at the network. We're going to be chatting with him about what we're going to be getting all on the golf card this week. Some of his long shots, as he does such an amazing job. I'll be able to take a look at a little bit of everything. And I know he's got a lot of guys worth a 40-1 that he thinks could be able to win a title this week. So we're going to be chatting with Wes about that. We're going to be looking at some baseball as well, as we've got ourselves 9 games in total on the card. Lots of day games, so a lot of good fun there. And we have to recap what we've all seen here in the NBA over the last 24 hours, as the NBA draft, it did go down, and we saw a few surprises. We saw the, well, expected at the beginning part of the draft, to say the least, because if Cooper Plagg did not go number one overall, there would be a pig right now flying across this studio, and, well, I would be very, very concerned about things. But we do have a lot to break down in 45 minutes. Just everything that I like on the card for Thursday, we are going to be summing that up. And again, anything that I don't hit upon in baseball here on this show, the Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson. It is a podcast that you're able to find wherever you're podcasting. That is the name of it, the Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson. We do not beat around the bush. It is straight and to the point. We've got you guys all covered there, and we have to get in straight to the point with regards to what we all saw in the NBA draft here on this Wednesday, as well as number one overall was Cooper Flagg. We saw that very much coming for the Dallas Mavericks. Rock solid pick for the Dallas Mavericks. The only pick that you really could have made if you were the Dallas Mavericks. Thank you for not screwing that up. Number two, Dylan Harper. Once again, San Antonio Spurs. Thank you for not screwing that up. Number three was VJ Edgecombe. I thought that he should go number three overall. Very rock solid player over there at Baylor. He's going to be a nice impact guy for a 76ers team. And I think that they're one of the biggest wild cards out there in the East. They could completely miss the playoffs. They could be able to ascend in the East that it feels like it's very, very wide open. Solid pick there. And the Hornets had themselves a nice night. Not only do they pick Colin Knipple at four, and Colin Knipple is really what this team needs. Clearly, this is a team that's going very much more guard-oriented. I think that they're going to need to get a little bit of something down low, and ironically enough, they trade Mark Mitchell for the 29th overall pick, but I like what they turned that 29th overall pick into. Liam McNeely. And when they made that trade, they had no idea that Liam McNeely was going to fall to 29. I have no idea how they fell that far. He was the biggest, shall we say, faller in terms of this draft. And I thought that he was a complete steal there. 6'7", a little bit of a combo player, does a nice job on defense, is a very rock solid 3-point shooter. He gives you a bit of everything, scoring, defense. Like, this guy is able to stuff the stat sheet. I thought that that was really good for the Hornets. Now, the Hornets are a ways away from being where they want to be, but you know what? Steps in the right direction being taken for the Hornets. That's all that you can hope for there. And the Jazz took some steps in the right direction as well. They were able to get Ace Bailey at number five. Now, we had no idea where Ace Bailey was going to be going, and a bit disappointing at Rutgers. Like, I know that you could say that Rutgers wasn't expected to be like some sort of Final Four team or anything like that. To be below 500, though, with two guys that get drafted in the top five, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Like, that has to be the first time in NBA history where two guys were on the same college team that were below 500 and went in the top five in the draft. So that, I think, is very intriguing. And Bailey, I felt like, was the lesser of the two guys. And sometimes for Bailey, it just feels like he takes shots that he doesn't need to. So the coaching staff is going to need to work with him, especially when you play alongside a guy in Walter Clayton, who they were able to trade and get. Like, I thought that that was tremendous. He's one of the best overall spot up shooters out there in this entire draft. A guy that has a very quick release. That is going to be very good for the Jazz moving forward. Jazz are set up for success down low. They're going to stink once again this year, but like 2-3 years from now, the Utah Jazz might be something out there in the West. So, I mean, there's promise to be had there. And then for the Wizards, they take Trey Johnson at number 6. I felt like that was a solid pick. I really like that one. I have my question marks for Jeremiah Fears. I know that he rose up a lot of draft boards, and I think that he has a chance to really be able to boom. But at the same time, we saw the turnover issues over at Oklahoma. He's able to make the tremendous play. He doesn't quite make the routine plays, though. So that's something that I have a question mark on. And this entire Pelicans team, man, do I have some question marks there. You had Igor Demin go to the Nets at number 8, and that might have been the biggest upset of the night. The fact that the Nets have, at this point, kept every single one of their picks, like, I thought there was going to be some sort of trade. Like, you had to think that for the Nets that they would have packaged one of these deals and decided, hey, we like insert player here. We like insert player there. Like, if they really wanted to, they could have swapped a few trades. And I felt like Demin is a guy that they could have probably gotten if they decided to trade down the board a little bit more, too. So everyone really didn't make too much sense to me, but he went number 8 overall. And then you've got Kamen Mollich, who goes number 10 to the Rockets, and Kyle Murray-Boyles, really like that pick for Toronto. He goes at number 9 overall. Just a few other picks that I just really like. Obviously, the Liam McNeely pick, I thought that was absolutely tremendous. Cedric Howard goes 11th. He stays out there in the Pacific Northwest, as this is a draft pick of the Portland Trailblazers, but that got traded to Memphis. So he goes to the Memphis Grizzlies after spending 5 minutes out there in the Pacific Northwest. But that feels like a big swing. Now, for Coward, he's coming off of a massive injury. He's got a lot of upside. We saw that in the NBA draft process. He completely tore it up at the combine. What is he going to be able to give Memphis year number one? A little bit raw. Began at the non-Division I level, and being a man from UW Oshkosh, a Division III school, I absolutely love to be able to see that. Have my question marks there, and then I have my question marks over at number 13. Derek Queen, a unprotected first-round draft pick, goes from the New Orleans Pelicans to be able to pick him up, and I mean, I like Derek Queen. I felt like he should have went in the top 10 in the draft. That's a big, big haul to give up, because I mean, that unprotected first round pick, that could turn out to be really something in a draft that maybe a few years from now, it's a little bit better than this one as well. On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say that this draft probably about a 6 to a 6.5 with regards to talent. Felt like it could have been a little bit better at some of these guys that stayed around for the NIL bag, like Yexel Lendiborg, like Taj Pettiford, who stays over at Auburn. Had they stayed in the draft, heck, even a guy like a Boogie Flan, I could have easily seen being a first round draft pick as well. So very interesting what we saw in the first round of the NBA draft. And something else that is very interesting, and something that you do want to turn your attention to, it's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called Xcuta. That is X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew. For any sport or any sporting event, this is everything. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even create your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for after buying and selling. And you're able to create over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers into the database with the ability to be able to add more free practice auctions. They're available at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern over on xcutta.com. And for 3 months of free bidding subscription, email support at xcutta.com and mention VSIN, V-S-I-N, xcuta.com, the future of future wagering. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaves-Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Certainly what we saw in the NBA draft, very fun there. Really not seeing a lot in terms of what we might get in round number 2. I've been checking these books. Maybe that'll pop up in the AM. I know they had a lot of Bronny James stuff last season. Obviously, we don't have anything with regards to Bronny James this year because he is on the Lakers, and, well, I've got my thoughts there, but that's for another show on another day. But when I do have a lot more thoughts on, and something that you can make money on, is Major League Baseball. So how about if we dive into the card, and how about if we take a look at some junk? You're going to be wondering why I am looking at junk, but it'll all make sense in a second. 9:55, 9:56 on the card. The Giants are playing OC Miami Marlins. Jansen Junk is on the bump for the Miami Marlins, and Hayden Birdsong is on the bump for the Giants. Giants are about minus 165 or so favors in that neighborhood of plus 148, plus 150, that number on the fish. And total on this game in most places in it is an 8. I'm seeing one straight 7.5 on the board here at Circa, and I did set my total at 7.9. Now, I would rather have the 8 under rather than the 7.5 over. I'm just still a big believer in the San Francisco Giants team, despite the fact that, well, it's been a rough last 2 nights for you. When you lose back-to-back games at home to the Fish, that's not a place where you want to be. But you still have the number one bullpen in terms of ERA in the big leagues. They did have to go to 10 innings yesterday, but I mean, that's the advantage of the San Francisco Giants. Yes, this is a rough Miami Marlins bullpen, to say the least. They are in the bottom 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. And it's been tough for them to be able to mix and match. They had to utilize their closer in Kelvin Fauché in back-to-back nights. Lake Bacar, Ronnie Enriquez, they're okay long guys for the team, but I mean, what are you going to be able to get out of them moving forward? And then for the San Francisco Giants, I recognize that they had to use quite a few of these guys on Wednesday, but still, you've got the likes of Tyler Rogers, Eric Miller, Randy Rodriguez, Camilo Duval, all these guys posting up a sub-3 ERA. Spencer Bivens, if you need to go to him, he's a relatively good long guy. For Hayden Birdsong, he began his season out there in the bullpen, has become a starter, overall about a 3.25 ERA with 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And for Junk, he's actually been really good. Now, it's a small sample size. He's won 27 plus innings. He's getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, has yet to give up a home run, and I believe that he's only given up 2 walks as far this year. Might be 3, but he's giving up less than a walk per 9 innings. Command has always been good for Junk. What has been Junk has been the way that he's given up the deep ball. That's why he's got an ERA for his career that's hovering right around 5, and for this Giants team, I thought that they had a home run with Willy Adames on Wednesday. That did turn out to not be the case for them, but I mean, still, you've got plenty of guys that are moving the line. Haloy Ramos, Dom Smith hitting above a 285, Ramos a double-figure amount of homers, and for this Miami Marlins team, bottom 3 team in the big leagues in terms of hitting the ball out of the yard, but you've got the likes of Xavier Edwards giving you a 366 on base. Liam Mix has been able to hit north of 275. I do think that for the Giants in this pitcher-friendly ballpark, they find a way to get the job done, like that 8-under, and I do like the Giants on the run line at plus money. And coming up next, how about if we hit the links with our good friend Wes Reynolds here at VSiN? Coming up next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Wes Reynolds aboard. Does such great work here at the network. He's one of our main golf guys, doing a tremendous job with his long shots all year long. Every single week, he brings it in. Additionally, does a great job evaluating all things basketball. He did a great job of taking a look at the finals with me on this program and so much more. And Wes, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Brad, good to be with you tonight, man.
Good to be on with you as well, Wes. And first things first, let's take a look at what we did see in the NBA draft. First 2 picks were very much a foregone conclusion from there. Things relatively held to form in terms of first 5, 6 or so picks. I felt like Igor Demin might have been the first real surprise off the board. But just how did you take a look at this NBA draft and what were some of the things that really stood out to you?
Yeah, and I think at the top, it went a little bit to form. We kind of saw the move that it was going to be Knipple for Charlotte a couple days ago. So if people got down at plus money, good on them. And I kind of like what Charlotte did, because Charlotte, they took a lot of threes last year, Greg, but they didn't make a lot of them. So what do? You get 2 good shooters with Knipple. So I actually like what they did. Demin was a little bit of a reach, and I think people really like his size in Brooklyn, and he's a good passer. He's probably the best passer in the draft, but he's not a really great shooter, and he's not a really great dribbler, so they're kind of trying to pigeonhole him as he's this point guard. And the Nets drafted a lot of guards, and none of them can really shoot the ball, so we shall see. Maybe they'll prove us wrong. That's what the draft is really all about. But then the international, that's certainly a story this year, especially a lot of the French players. And we've seen that over the last couple of years. We saw it with Alex Sarr and Rizache last year going 1-2 in the draft. France is the number one opposition, if you want to call it that, on the international scene for the USA. And we've seen that in the last 2 Olympics. They were silver medalists the last 2 summer games. So yeah, all these French players, and it's not that they're just coming from international teams, Greg. You're noticing this, somebody that follows college basketball year round, because of the NIL, you're now getting more international players come to play over here and play college basketball. 10 years ago, you couldn't drag a good European player out of there kicking and screaming to come play for a college program. I'm talking like a good higher level Euro prospect. And now you're getting these kids and they're coming over here for a year. Like bonus at Illinois, Malawash, granted he's from Africa, but he was part of the NBA Africa program and went to Duke for a year. So you're seeing, because of the NIL, they're coming over here and at least playing a year of college basketball. So they're a lot more known maybe than they used to be.
Yep, I think that that's such a great point by you with Yaku Sonis going number 20 overall. And was there a team or two that really stood out to you, either that they got the draft right here tonight for their prospects for the future, or was there maybe a team or two that you thought just didn't do a great job in general?
Yeah, I'll go back to Charlotte, and I'll also go with Utah. I like what they did, getting Clayton and getting Bailey. I think those are two guys that are going to get minutes right away. To the deal, and it's not necessarily demeaning the prospect, but it was Derek Queen going 13 to New Orleans just because of what New Orleans gave up. You know, they move up the 10th spot. They give up next year's first rounder to Atlanta. Atlanta ends up dropping down and getting Asa Newell, who's from right there in the state of Georgia. So I don't know about Queen. I it's not about his talent, because I think he has lottery talent, especially offensively. Now, he can't really guard anybody and really hasn't shown the interest, but can he stay in condition? And they've already got a guy down there in New Orleans named Zion Williams. That's still a question. Can he stay in good condition and good physical shape? So I thought that was a little bit of a question, but Derek Queen's talent certainly isn't a question.
Yep, I agree with you. As Wes Reynolds, who does such great work here at the network, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And if you're looking to be able to get down some money, if you're looking for a way to be able to have all of your gambling transactions approved, you want to go to EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost, they make sure that bettors are able to get down on everything that they want, because it is the first ever bank account that is built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. You earn cashback rewards as you utilize EdgeBoost. And when you go to EdgeBoost.bet, utilize the promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That gives you a dollar for dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. And how about if we do dive in on what we're going to be getting on the links this week, Wes, because we do have ourselves a lot of fun, and we are going to be out there, if I'm not mistaken, in the great state of Ohio for Rocket Mortgage. And right now there's a lot of just hodgepodge with this, because Colin Morikawa, who actually splits ties with his caddy for the second time here in 2025, he is at plus 12 to 1, I should say. Screwing myself up there a little bit. You've got 16-1 Patrick Cantlay, Keegan Bradley, he's at 18-1, and then from there you have a lot of guys that are hovering in the neighborhood of 25-30 to 1. And how do you just take a look at this Rocket Classic, one where we have seen some very big intrigue? And I remember this used to be a big tournament for Bryson DeChambeau back when he was on the tour.
Yeah, and we're trying to go two for two back-to-back weeks. Keegan Bradley, we hit on in Hartford last week at the Travelers Championship, thanks to Tommy Fleetwood's collapse down the stretch. Not going to play Keegan Bradley here this week in Detroit, but pretty easy course. The almost 7,400 yards, you can pretty much just grip it and rip it off the tee. Not a lot of hazards in your way. It basically turns into a putting contest. So see if you can hit it right here. We've seen some big names win here. DeChambeau, Finau, Ricky Fowler a couple years ago. I'm going with a guy that did not play very well last week, but he has been kind of turning the corner. And this could go awry with this guy, because he's been so close and just had one on the PGA Tour. And it's Cameron Young at 28-1, who has finished second and sixth here in Detroit in his two appearances. I think the course is really tailor-made for him, as it should be for Davis Thompson, 40-1. Four-way tie here, second last year. This is around the time where he got really hot last summer and eventually won the John Deere for us at 25-1. Second on approach last week at the Travelers, just couldn't make a putt. Think he'll be able to do that this week. And then mid 40-ish range, Wyndham Clark and Matt Fitzpatrick, anywhere from 40-45-1. One on the American side, one on the European side, that's trying to make a move and get one of those Ryder Cup spots for later on this fall. And then a guy that really popped on my motto, Emiliano Grillo at 80-1, the Argentine not really a big hitter off the tee, but he's so good with the short wedges. And that's what you're going to have to be. This is going to be a wedge fest and a putting contest. So Emiliano Grillo, 80-1. In terms of bombs, Jesper Svensson, 105-1. Big hitting Swede, second on the tour, second at least in this field for driving distance and strokes gained par five. So this is a guy that can really rip it off the tee and kind of spray it everywhere. And then Lee Hodges, 110-1, ninth at the RBC Canadian Open a couple weeks ago. So best finish of 2025. I think he's over that rib injury. And then I did add Michael Thorbjørnsen also at 90-1. And you mentioned, Greg, about Colin Morikawa's caddy. Well, one of his former caddies is JJ Jakovic, who is now with Michael Thorbjørnsen. So maybe we go down narrative street here with one of the golf futures. But yeah, no, if I had any interest at the top two, it'd probably be Cantlay over Morikawa this week.
Yep, I think that those are all great looks. And how much different does it become the handicap when you don't have the Big Bad Wolf in there? Because Scottie Scheffler, he's always such a demonstrative favorite. Rory McIlroy is typically a number two in a lot of these events. Both those guys are out, and that very much opens up the board.
Yeah, these next couple weeks, you're getting a little bit downfield because you're right now in the meat of between the majors, because you had the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago at Oakmont. Then had a signature event at the Travelers, so most of the guys played that. So this is the time where guys can maybe take a breather and get a couple off weeks before they got to go overseas, because in mid-July, we've got the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. So, yeah, it does open it up a little bit, and that's why you see these players playing these events, because they want to get Ryder Cup points, and they want to make that Ryder Cup team. They want to, you know, get their game obviously informed for a major and have a chance to win, because they hadn't had many chances to win when you got Scottie Scheffler and Rory and those guys in the field.
Yep, absolutely. And Wes, I do think that it's going to be really interesting to see what we got here. And were there any guys that you didn't take outright that maybe you look at for a top 10 or a top 20?
Yeah, I did play a few placement market guys. I did play Cantlay on the top 20 market. Also played a couple other guys. I usually go like 20s and 30s is kind of where I live. Harry Hall, Max Grazerman, Luke Clanton, all plus money at top 30s this week.
I absolutely love it. Wes, you do such great work here at the network. You do a great job on the golf front. You always do a great job with your basketball insight. You, much like myself, always an ace when it comes to college basketball, and it is always appreciated. Thank you so much.
We are both men for all seasons, Greg. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Wes, one of the best in the business. He has a lot of guys that he's liking for this Rocket Classic that is going to be going down. I think that Wyndham Clark at 44-1. Right now, you're seeing that in a lot of other places, right around about 35-40-1. I think that provides quite a bit of value as well. We've seen Clark be able to bust through, win some big events. Been a little bit of a less than savory 2025 for him. So we'll see if he's able to bust through. But Wes, he always does. He was able to hit an outright last week. We'll see if he can make it two for two. And coming up next, how about if we do hit a pair of Major League Baseball games and try to find you guys some winners for this Thursday right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always great to be joined by Wes Reynolds. He does a tremendous job here at the network, taking a look at golf, taking a look at football, basketball, you name it, he does it. And let's hope to be able to hit another outright just like he did last week with Keegan Bradley. So big thanks, Wes, for joining me in the last segment. We are now in that time of year where it's time to start getting you guys set for the upcoming NFL season. We've launched it in the last hour. Greg's random football roulette, it landed on the Jacksonville Jaguars in hour number two. So you know what? Let's get you guys another football preview. You're going to get two previews a day for 16 days. So that'll cover all 32 of these teams. So how about if we go back to it and let's play Greg's random football roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
We've got all these teams fired up here, and we've got every team except for the Jaguars, because, well, we don't want to pick the Jaguars again. We want to go with a different team. So we've got 31 teams. We go to random.org, which I have used since I was like a freshman in high school, to randomize this. Whatever team is on the top of the list is a team that we preview. All right. We hit it. Big bucks, no whammies, and hey, a pretty solid team. We've got the Los Angeles Rams to preview here, and I know that Matt Verderam, who he joined me in hour number two, does great work over at Sports Illustrated. He was speaking very glowingly about the Los Angeles Rams. Currently, their win total is a 9.5. They're -160 to be able to make the postseason. So, I mean, things are on the up and up for the Rams. I personally think that this could be a team that goes a little bit under, though. I actually think that if you're looking at this NFC West, the team to beat is the Arizona Cardinals. I know that a lot of people are going to be saying, like, wow, really? The Arizona Cardinals? I love what I saw to Kyler Murray last year. That offense is really developing. You've got a lot of good young talent on that team. That defense is going to be nasty. I think Jonathan Gannon, this is something that has been given out by Will Hill here on the network, who he does an amazing job with VSiN Primetime and so many other shows. He's looking at Jonathan Gannon, 20-1 to perhaps be Coach of the Year. And if he's winning Coach of the Year, that means that the Arizona Cardinals are either winning the division or they're making some sort of a playoff push. But for the Rams, I do fear that this is a little bit of a top-heavy team. You've got a very, very good quarterback in Matthew Stafford that we saw him a few years ago be able to get this team to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. So no question about it. He's got the talent, but he is starting to get up there in years. Now, the one thing that I do like about the Rams with having an aging Matthew Stafford, who he's currently 37 years old, you've actually got one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league, Jimmy GQ. And if you have to look to Jimmy GQ to hold down the fort, win a game or two, he's able to do so. I mean, this is a guy that's not too far removed from being in a Super Bowl himself, albeit it was with a team that was very, very much, shall we say, built around him. But I mean, he's a guy that is able to come in there, hold down the fort. But now you have a little bit of a switcheroony. Cooper Red Solo Cup is out of the fold, and now you bring in Devontae Adams. What is Devontae Adams now in this day and age where he's 32 years old? He's starting to get up there a little bit. Well, he's loved playing with Aaron Rodgers, and that was obvious. And we saw things with the Raiders last year with him be less than savory, to say the least. So, I mean, you do have your question marks there. And I do have a few question marks with regards to this offensive line as well. I do think that this offensive line does provide a few holes, and I do think that it's a line that in general might not do the world's greatest job of being able to protect Matthew Stafford. I think that that's going to be a big key, because with Matthew Stafford, you need to do everything humanly possible to be able to keep him upright. We saw the issues that they had in that playoff game against the Eagles where he got sacked 5 times. So that's a little bit of a question mark. Now, I will say this for the Rams as well. They did a really good job of being able to revamp this defense. Like, when you lose a guy like Aaron Donald, you think that things are going to be going straight down the toilet bowl and that there's really going to be no hope whatsoever. They did a good job of being able to have the likes of Turner along with Young, along that front seven, be able to do a nice job getting home, being able to get to the quarterback. You saw Braden Fisk be able to give you some nice sacks as well. They really did a good job with that front seven. Have my question marks with the secondary, and that's really the big issue for this team. Now, I will say the NFC West might not be like a cavalcade of like guys that are top five quarterbacks or anything like that, but you've got the mid-tier quarterbacks. Like, I do think that Kyler Murray is an upper half of the NFL sort of quarterback with Brock Purdy. I think that he's pretty all right. I don't think that he's amazing, but I certainly think that he's a guy that you can win with when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks. I think that that's going to be a little bit of a rough situation, though. I do think that just what you're going to be able to get out of them in general with Sam Darnold, if he can duplicate what he did in Minnesota, perhaps they're going to be a little bit of a surprise team. And obviously they pick up Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, you've got a lot of intrigue there. And I do think that with the West, it's a division where there might be, shall we say, the lowest amount of separation between the top and the bottom team. And that's, I think, is going to cause for a little bit of variance and a little bit of randomness. Now, if you take a look at this Rams schedule right now, you just take a look up and down the boulevard and you see a lot of games where, I mean, early on during the season, it's going to be rough for them. That first 3 week stretch, I think, is going to be very key. You go at home against the Houston Texans, a Texans team that I believe is going to be able to win their division. Granted, it was a little bit wishy-washy for them last year, but I think that they're going to be a rock solid team on the road against the Titans. If they lose that game, you're staring at a little bit of a rough situation, but that is going to be a little bit of a rough ordeal with regards to travel, the body clock, what have you. And then on the road against the Eagles. Good luck winning on the road against the Eagles. If they do so, then they are very much going to be going over, and you're looking at an amazing season for the LA Rams. If not, that's very much to be expected. Here are where the games that are going to be sort of rubber meets the roads games, they really come in. It's week 5 and week 6 when you have to play against the San Francisco 49ers in primetime on Thursday night, and then on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. I feel like they really need to win one out of those two games to really be feeling good about themselves, and I do think that this could be a squad that perhaps they get to 10 wins and they still miss the playoffs. Like, I think that the NFC is just that loaded with what you're going to be seeing out of those NFC North teams. I actually think that the Cowboys are going to be a little bit better than expected as well. And I could see the Arizona Cardinals really busting through as well. The Cardinals are actually the team that I think wins this division. I think that these two teams had best split during the regular season. Like, maybe I'm just a little bit too low on the Rams. Maybe I'm not giving Sean McVay enough credit, but I do again think that this team could be one or two injuries away from things falling off the rails. And we know that in the NFL, just one or two injuries, that could be very, very costly. And you do want to stay ahead of all this. You want to be doing your research. And that's what we are doing here at VSiN and the NFL betting guide that we do every year. That is going to be out in a week. And that's a part of being a VSiN Pro subscriber. You're able to get in on this early bird special for just $175. That covers every sport, that covers everything that we do here at the network all throughout the NFL season. And you're able to start making smarter bets because we've got you guys covered. And early access means everything. The earlier that you dive in on this VSiN Pro subscription, the more that you're able to get out of it. And that means that you get a better shot at spotting futures value before the line moves. Now we are able to get everything that we do for this early bird special, which includes a daily best bet email from our VSiN show us and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. You'll also be first in line for that betting guide that I laid out where I project every single one of my NFL playoff teams as well. You want to go to vsin.com/subscribe, dive in on this early bird special, vsin.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're looking at the Rams right now, and I just think that that bye week coming up at week 8 and then weeks 9 through 18 is just so interesting because you're going to be playing against the Cardinals twice. You've got a game on the road against the Falcons, which I think they should be able to get the job done in, but I'm not necessarily so sure. But I do take a look at this Rams team. I think that there's, if I had to bet it right now, I'd be taking a look at the under on 9.5 wins merely because you're getting a plus 120. I actually think that 9.5 is a correct number, but having to have that win total so juiced up to the over, that does make things a little bit more off-putting, so that's a bit of an issue. And I just think that in general, when you take a look at this entire division, you really just don't have that one team that I think is head and shoulders above everyone else. You really don't have that one team that I think is going to flame out and it's going to be awful either. Like, I know that there is a lot of people that are down on the Seattle Seahawks. They're wanting to see a little bit more from Sam Darnold, but I mean, that was a guy that did a really nice job last season. He's a guy that I think is very capable, especially with now having Cooper Kupp in the fold there. You've got a lot of nice weapons in that front end. Again, you've got a lot of quarterbacks that are good, but not great in this division. Like, I just think that in general, this is going to be a division where your top team is probably going to win like 10, maybe 11 games. Your bottom team is probably not going to fall below like 6 or 7 wins. Like, I think that this is going to be one of the more competitive and interesting divisions in football. I'm not calling it the best division in football. That would be too outlandish. I do think that that's actually going to be the North divisions. I think that the NFC North is going to be there. I know that the AFC North obviously has the Cleveland Browns and they're going to be at the bottom of that division, but I think that that's going to be another very just stacked division in general as well. But I just take a look top to bottom at this division. I think that it lends itself for the most variance of all of them. I do think that with the Rams, if they have everything break their way, can they win this division? Absolutely. Personally, I think that they go more of a 9-8, and I do think that the Arizona Cardinals are the team that rises up and wins this division. I think that the Rams are going to be right on the borderline to make the playoffs with their number, yes, no, to be able to make slash miss the playoffs. North of minus 160, I would take plus money on the under, personally. And coming up next, how about if we get you guys some Thursday MLB bets right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here for the final segment of the night, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, well, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay, coming up 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross, they do a tremendous job over at VSiN by the Book. They always do a great job breaking down a little bit of everything. They'll be looking at some baseball. They'll be recapping what we saw in round number one of the NBA draft and so much more. Always worth a listen early on during the day, so you want to be tuned into that. And then you've got a numbers game where I'll be making an appearance with Gil Alexander in the AM. So no rest for the weary. Absolutely love pulling it off. I am very excited for that. Talk a little NBA draft, talk a little MLB with them. So we've got ourselves a lot of good, clean fun coming up on this Thursday. And with this Thursday, we've got to try to get you that guys there cleanly, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. That is my job right now. And we've got ourselves 9 games on the MLB board. We've broken down quite a few of them. There are a few that have not, but this is just a game that I'm taking a look at right now, and I don't understand where this total is coming from. So we have to address that right about now. 965, 966. It is the Tampa Bay Rays. They're on the road. They're facing up against the Kansas City Royals. Michael Lorenzen goes for the Royals, and the Wizard of Boz, Shane Boz, is on the bump for the Tampa Bay Rays. Total on this game is 10. It opened up at a 9.5, has gone to 10, and Rays are anywhere between about minus 120, minus 125 favorites. That neighborhood plus 105, plus 110, that number on the Royals. The Royals are averaging 2.9 runs per game at home this year. Now, I recognize that the Wizard of Oz has been, well, pulling wizardry in terms of giving up a lot of runs, but now 3 runs or fewer allowed in 4 out of his last 5 starts. It's getting a little bit better. He has been posting up north of a 4-5 ERA. He's getting about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He is giving up north of 3 walks per 9. So you have your concerns there, but what I find to be interesting about Shane Boz, he's actually been a whole heck of a lot better when he has been on the road rather than at home. At home, Shane Boz has an ERA that extends well north of a 5 when he's been on the road. I'm not saying he's been great, but he's posting up a 3.57 ERA. And again, with this Royals lineup, just no power out of this team. Vinny Pascantino, Bobby Witt Jr. have between 10 and 11 home runs apiece, but are just not getting a lot of production out of the bottom lineup in terms of power. Now, you do have someone like Drew Waters, Kyle Isbell hitting above a 245. Mikel Garcia has been hitting above a 300. He's up to 8 home runs, so that's been solid. But they brought in some like veteran bats in the offseason, Kevon Biggio. They gave Hunter Renfroe another look. They pretty much completely cut ties with these guys. They haven't been able to find any of that whatsoever. So, I mean, that's been a little bit of an issue for them. Now, what has not been an issue for the Royals has been the bullpen pitching. They're a top 10 team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You've been able to have a lot of guys like Steven Cruz, along with Daniel Lynch, be able to provide a sub-3 ERA. And then you've got Lucas Ursich, Carlos Aceves. Really nice 8th and 9th inning duo if you're able to get there. And for Michael Lorenzen, that's been a little bit of an adventure this year. Right now, he's posting up an ERA that is well north of a 4, and he's been giving up some hard contact, north of 1.2 home runs per 9 innings. But at home, he's been relatively solid as well, giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. At ERA, it falls down to about a 3.30. So when he's been in Kansas City, it's been solid. It does need to be pointed out that the conditions in this game aren't necessarily the world's greatest for pitching. It's getting warm out there in the lovely city of Kansas City. Additionally, the wind has been blowing out the last few days. But that hasn't helped out the Royals, who have one run in this series thus far. And then they also have to go to up against a bullpen of the Tampa Bay Rays that has been so rock solid for the Rays. They are right there at the top of the American League in terms of bullpen ERA. So many guys like Eric Orze, the closer in Pete Fairbanks, Kara Clevenger, Manuel Rodriguez, giving you a sub-3 ERA. These guys have been very rock solid. And for the Rays, I will say, this has been an offense that has been averaging 5 runs per game away from home. They're a top 7 team with that regard. You've got so many guys that are slugging it out for them, with Yandy Diaz now hitting above a 325 over the last 35 days. He's up to a double-figure amount of bombs. Junior Caminero, Brandon Lau, 15-plus home runs apiece. Caminero up to 18 home runs. Jonathan Aranda has been able to give you north of 400 base. Still have a little bit of trepidation and strife with the bottom guys. The entirety of the catcher spot, Taylor Walls, Cameron Misner hitting below a 235. You've got that as well for Jose Calreo. But Calreo has been able to give you 29 stolen bases as well and does have north of a 320 on base. I do think that in the end, the Royals have a bit more of a rock solid team. I did put this in my VSiN write up, which you know, catch those every single day. VSiN.com. I write up an article on these games I like every single day. So we got you guys covered there. Took a shot on the under, and I'm in on the Rays money line. Would be willing to go up to a minus 128 on that Rays money line myself. And everything that we've got in terms of our best bets today, it is all powered by GBank. And GBank is introducing the trifecta. All you need to do is open up a GBank signature card, and they come together along with us here at VSiN, along with First Bet. When you open up that card, you want to make sure that you make a deposit over at First Bet. Over at First Bet, if you play through $1,000, that triggers this $500 trifecta. As you need to do so in the first 90 days, deposit and play through that $1,000, and you'll receive a $200 cashback reward on your Visa signature card. And then First Bet, they give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value, and that's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. This is a game that I mentioned in passing with Tanner Kern. Haven't really addressed this myself, though. It's the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. Shota Imanaga making his first start since May 4th for the Chicago Cubs on the road against the Cardinals, who throws out there Andre 3000 Belante. And right now for the Cubs, right around minus 132 to minus 140 favorites. Bit of plus money, about plus 120, plus 125 right now on the cards. Total on this game is 9. And typically with guys coming off the injured list, I do have my trepidations in trusting in them. I feel a little bit better about Shota Imanaga because in his 3 minor league rehab starts, absolutely rocking and rolling. No runs allowed, 10 and a third innings, 16 strikeouts, looked really, really strong. And for Shota Imanaga, it's not like he's some sort of a super duper power pitcher, and it wasn't an arm injury. It was a little bit more of a hamstring injury, which I know that those can be a little bit dicey, but I feel like he should be able to go out there, give you a good performance. And let's say that Shota Imanaga does that. The Cubs, since May 1st, are number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. A lot of guys have just come out of nowhere for this team. Daniel Palencia, Drew Pomeranz, Brad Keller, along with Caleb Theobar, all posting up a sub-3 ERA. And then you back that up with a Cubs team that is number two in the National League in terms of runs per game. 5 different guys on the roster with 11-plus home runs. Say Suzuki, P. Crow Armstrong, both giving you north of 20 home runs. And this is a unit that is making sure that those are not solo shots, with the likes of a Nico Horner hitting north of a 275. You've been able to have Kyle Tucker give you 15-plus home runs north of a 370 on base himself. And for the Cardinals, just a relatively powerless team in terms of cranking out the deep ball. Now, they have been in the upper half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game, but now you've got Ivan Herrera, who's back on the injured list, one of their better power hitters. Lars Nootbaar, he's been able to give you a 9 home runs, but he's letting less than a 240 this season. It's been Wilson Contreras, along Nolan Arenado, leading the way with 10 home runs apiece. Both of those guys hitting in the neighborhood about 245, 250. You just expect a little bit more out of them. Alec Burleson has made a move line, but it's been a Cardinals bullpen that has been right around about league average. The likes of Kyle Leahy, Phil Matone have been able to give you sub-3 ERA. I recognize that Steven Matz had a little bit of a rough weekend, but he's been able to give you north of a sub-340 ERA out of the bullpen as well. As a bit of a long guy, Ryan Olsen has actually been your big issue with this bullpen, but I do think that for the Cubs, they go out there, get the job done. I think that Imanaga comes off the injured list pretty solid. I will say for Andre Pallante, he's giving up about 1.2 to 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. The walks have gotten a little bit better with 3 walks per 9 innings. Not necessarily too much of a strikeout artist, but I do think that in the end, Cubs hold down this St. Louis Cardinals team, much like they did on Wednesday, where it was a complete shutout. So I do like the under in this spot of 9. I do like the Cubs on the money line. I'd be willing to go up to about a minus 142 there. And then I think that this is a fun one. It's the lone late game that we have on the card. Very strange to say that, by the way, but you got the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets in a relative pick'em. Mets are starting to become a very slim favorite, right around about a minus 110, and the total on this game in most places open up at a 9. This is lower to an 8.5. I took this at a 9 personally. I still like it at an 8.5 to the under. Griffin Canning and Grant Holmes both give up about four walks for nine innings, but a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in New York. And I do like New York on the money line with the way that this bullpen has performed all season long. Top seven team with regards to bullpen ERA. Oscar Brazoben, Jose Buto, two very good long guys that have been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Edwin Diaz is starting to look like the Edwin Diaz of old, with the Mets being able to blow out the Atlanta Braves on Wednesday. He didn't have to use up those high leverage guys as well. And for Grant Holmes, he's giving up about 1.5 home runs per nine innings. And though Ronald Acuna Jr. is now in for the Atlanta Braves, still a team that's ranking right around 20th in terms of runs per game. So like that under, and I do like the New York Mets on the money line. What else I like is what we've all got coming up here on VSiN on Thursday. Get started with VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. At 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, a numbers game with Gil Alexander. I'll be making an appearance personally. And then you got Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and company. That comes your way noon Eastern, 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. And it's all coming up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.